So,
Итак,
beloved,
мы с вами продолжаем дальше.
We are moving.
Я опять говорю, вы знаете, в прошлом году,
you know, last year,
папа меня в это время,
in this time, Daddy,
знаете, засунул в видение.
Put me into visions. This was about the same time of the year.
Когда был в видении,
when I was in visions, it was very unique.
У меня эти глюки, знаете, они, это были открытые видения.
It was open visions. I had them everywhere, in the gym, in the pool, on the road, on the freeway. And I had to drop everything because right now I either have to watch this vision or drive. I had to write things down. So I'm thankful to Daddy. He does whatever. Whenever he wants. You don't tell him, Daddy, well, right now I'm in my office. Come on. No. He does it whenever he wants, however he wants. That's why we're taking everything from our Daddy, and we thank him for this. And right now, God has placed me into my message, my message, my main message, restoration, the message of how to be an individual, freedom from slavery, and we will continue this, I will say this, parts, many parts, in the restoration of a human being. So today's message is kind of heading in the same direction. You know, I tell you the truth. If God starts me going on this message, you know, I'll speak about it for a year and you'll receive a revelation every time because it's deep. It's very deep. In this area of restoration of individuals, devil, you know what? He spent a lot of time on that. He's done a lot of things, but this was his number one trick from the very beginning, where Adam and Eve were in the garden, degradation, stealing, destruction. This was the very beginning to prove to you that you are nobody, explain to you that you're nothing, create around you this situation, place proper people around you that will proclaim quote-unquote right things into your life, so you will never in your life will be anything. Why does the devil hate me? Why does he hate everything that has to do with me? Because one word that brings the truth, delivers your mind, your spirit, your will, and you start to think in a different way. You start to live in another way. The interesting thing is you start to want something different. Amen? So, beloved, today, a very unique message. It's called Live Your Life. You know? Why your life? My accent is upon the word your. Live your life. We all live our lives with, you know, someone went through 10 years, they have nothing to remember. If it wouldn't be for your tapes when you're cutting cakes and blowing the candles, you would have no life. And by those tapes, you can say, oh, this is what I did. But so live your life. You have your life, you know that? You know that? That for your life. Someone is trying to get it. Someone doesn't like when you start to live your life. Think with your head to want your own things and to dream about your own achievements. Oh, right away around you, there will be a lot of misunderstanding. Who are you? What are you taking upon yourself? The interesting thing is that everybody that surrounds you, they know, my dear Ivan, they all know you. You're a nobody. You're called nothing. What did you get into your head? What ideas? What? You're planning on getting married? Oh, that's what it is. Oh, you have a dream to be in and to move in a prophetic movement, to be a leader. What do you think? Who do you think you are? Oh, you have a dream to influence nations. We've never had this before. For your life. You know, your life is in danger. Someone is after it. Live your life. My dream. Listen, for some reason, many, many years, I constantly had this, and it continues to be that, to help others to become. And I don't know why. I like to see a slave that is ripping his chains off. No, I'm not the one that's ripping them. He is ripping himself. You hear me? I like when people start to understand, wow, this is all a game that the devil has made up. Let's screw up his game. Amen? Let's destroy all of these rules and rewrite this game. Apparently, he's not the ruler. You're the ruler. Apparently, inside of you, there is something that is alive, something that is so big that has created everything around. Apparently, on the inside of you, you have dynamite. And as much as you let God breathe through you, that's as much he will be able to do through you. Will you let him use you? I did. I like where I'm going. So, live your life. You know, I like to help and to see people, how they are becoming someone when they're making it. A lot of you, majority of you, you've changed once you've encountered the center, once you've encountered the sermons, and I'm enjoying it, but that's not enough for me. It's like, you know, it's like getting high. You have to. It's not enough. It's not enough of these two churches. It's not enough of home groups. I want more. I want more. How much more? I don't know. But the further I go, the more hungry I get. You know, the dream gets bigger. I cannot stop. I am hooked on it. It's useless to stop me. You know what? I am sold out to the end. You know, when I see that barriers in your life, it's not people, but you yourself. Yourself. I want to scream. You know, it's one thing. Today we will talk about barriers and hindrances. Often, it's you in your own life. Often, we speak about people, about factors and different people, and those that come out of those factors who separate themselves from those understandings and hangouts, and people start to move and start to achieve things in their lives. But today, I want to touch down on this factor as you. You, yourself, when you are a hindrance to yourself, nobody else, no one is holding you, no one is influencing you. You speak spoke your mind to everybody who you could, and you left that. What now? What now? Oh, I was thinking, what did you think? Where were you going? What were you dreaming about? I was thinking, what? Did you just get a whole bunch of pretty phrases and that's it? When you are a factor, the one that hinders, it is the scariest factor. It's the most scariest factor. It's not the people that hold you back. It's you holding yourself back. You have proven to yourself that you are nobody, and that is another problem. When someone that surrounds you tells you you're not going anywhere, it's okay. You know what? You tell them, why don't you just shut your mouth? I know where I'm going. But when you tell yourself, I'm a nobody, I can't do anything, I am unable to achieve anything, you know what? You know, or when somebody else tells you that, it's different. I mean, it's easier to talk to you. I mean, to talk to nobodies. You know why we find people in society when they don't reach anything? Because it's comfortable for them. Their conscience is quiet. Nobody is throwing them anything to do. So, but as soon as you start to move, you get discomfort. You face discomfort, you know, and you have to explain things. It's easier to just run away and just to relax. Amen? Nobody's bothering me. I do whatever I want to do. You know, our gravity pulls into that area of who we are. You say, yes, I hate religion. And then what? What about now? Okay, yes, so you hate religion. You've freed yourself from the, what people think about you. Here's the medal. But what about now? Oh, life moves on, amen? Well, some people, their life, listen here, it's concentrated upon to come out, to have an exodus. And later on, they haven't thought about what's going to happen. Their whole life is concentrated. I want to get out. So they let him go, and what about now? And then what? I don't know. I should think about it. Where are you going? You know, my dream was to just come out that I've never even thought about what I would do once I would leave. And then you start to encounter, you know who? You know, it's easy to find people that surround you. Or I won't say people, but spirits that are in the inside. It's easy to fight and to prove something. But when you're one-on-one, who do you fight? You are fighting yourself, and you know what? You will be more successful than anybody else talking yourself out of not going somewhere. You know, when somebody tells me not to go, I want to get up and go. But when nobody attacks me, religious people don't call me, nobody bothers me, and I'm laying there and I'm attacking myself. I'll go to church. No, I'm not going to go to church. Oh, praise the Lord for open radio station. Now I could just lay in bed all day, put the headphones on, and I'm in the anointing. You understand what I'm saying? You're the ones that factor that is holding back because you haven't thought of what next, what comes next. You have two chances: to live your life the way you see it, or to live the life, your life, the way others see it. You have two chances. Others see your life slightly differently than you. Have you ever noticed that? You know, they see it in a different light. Why? They see you differently when you live a life that is not your own. First of all, you will never be happy. That is the first factor. Some say, so what? At least I have no attacks in my life. So what? Nobody, you know, persecutes me. I know. But you are unhappy. You are miserable. It's better for you to be persecuted and attacked and happy than all of your life hide under the mattress, not needed by anybody. Amen? Who needs life like that? Who? Oh, dear God. When you're attacked, that means there's something to attack. Means that you're giving blisters to somebody. Something is up. Believe me, people don't, or things don't attack you. You know, they attack you this way. Either you've created some sort of, you know, something bad, but it was differently in Christianity. It's like you're going against the devil. I want you to understand today. It's very simple but very fundamental message. When you live a life that is not your own, you are unhappy. You will never be happy. And second thing, it is a slow destruction and death for yourself. The further people get away from their calling, the more they shut that inner voice. You know what? They say, now I have children. I give birth to children. You know, I take care of them. As soon as there's a free moment and in your... And you know what? In your whole life, you try to, you know, put something in it, give situations, friends, obstacles, have lots of babies. You gave birth to children, not because you love them, but to shut down that what is screaming in the inside of you. Oh, I know it's for some. It's not exactly in this message, but it's for someone that's listening. Beloved, listen. What if God has this great dream for you? If somebody says it never happened before, exactly, never happened before. What if God has such a dream for every one of you that every one of you will be shocked once they start entering into it? Live your life. Life. You have your life. And there's a lot of people that, you know, tell you things. You know, I feel sorry for those people that listen to others and they go, you know, by that inner voice constantly is, you know, giving them wrong things. I'm not going to talk about inner voices right now. It's a special message, many different voices. Yeah, when you don't live your own life, you know, when you don't live your destiny, you get into this category of people that live peacefully, that everything just goes with the flow. But you know what? Our nature, human nature, if I take this truthfully, it hates all of this. We want to buy different glasses, not because you don't like these glasses, because you're tired of them. You understand? Now you're in New China. That's how a human being is created. He wants something different. And you want to give these clothes, not because it's bad, because you're sick of it. Not because you're just, you know, have nothing else to do, but this is your nature. You are thirsty and hungry to live this life, to be excited. Something inside of us has been placed that, why is it that sometimes you look at certain pictures, you want to go there, and meet these people, and look at this land, and look at this, you know, things, or just walk around, or go to the other end of this earth, and just to sit there, on the shores of the ocean. Why? On the inside of you, something is hungry to live I am so sorry for those people that never left their city. It is the saddest and the most scariest thing. Some people come to my conferences when we go out into the world, and it's like they say, this is the first time, Pastor. Because of you, I left that particular region. And I say, what? From my city? You left your city once? I am so scared. People are holding themselves back. Never in their life they, you know, never knew anything, never threw themselves to challenge, not achieved anything. We leave this life unhappy. Yes, when you will live your life, you will have a lot of mistakes. Listen to me. Some people think, I don't want to make mistakes. You don't understand. I enjoy my mistakes. You will not live your life without making a single mistake. I have three kids that are being, you know, I'm raising them up, and from the very beginning, there's a mistake upon mistake. He's learning to walk. He's looking, I mean, he's working to go potty. He's learning how to, you know, do all these things. Why did you stop to progress? What, enough of learning for you? You will have a lot of mistakes, falling down and whatnot, but you will never have somebody else's victories. You hear me? Oh, today we'll talk about somebody else's victories. You're like on the side. Oh, hallelujah. But you need to have your own victory. You want your victory. It's pleasant for you to notice somebody else's victories and their achievement, but truthfully, tell me, you want yours. You are dreaming about yours. I want to be victorious. Oh, Jesus, I want to throw you this challenge. That's it. Just live your life. Yes, it will be different. Yes, you might be discouraged once in a while and have mistakes. And maybe you'll spend a week crying or, like me, drink medicine for heart. You know, but it's my life and I love it. I am enjoying my life and my mistakes because I live it. But I also enjoy the other side of my life. It is victories, conquering things. It's what God gives. You know, you cannot have one without the other. By, you know, passing by one thing, you are, you know, keeping yourself away from the prize. And I am speaking to the heart of my nation here. I'd rather be, you know, enjoying my mistakes and receive lessons from that than to be part of somebody else's victories in somebody else's life. You know what it is? I'd rather enjoy my mistakes, but at least they're mine. I've done them. I make them. I am doing something. And he's not doing anything. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, brother, hallelujah, sister. Wow, praise the Lord. Where are you? You. I am, I'm like the smallest of these people. What? God gave you life. We're not talking about, you know, humbleness, this false humbleness that shouldn't even exist in you. You're like this game that is closed. You know, one time, can you just imagine this. Let's just visualize this. Let's go into the small story right now. I gave my son Legos many years ago. Lego. He asked me, Daddy, can you buy this for me? Okay. I invested a lot of money into it. I used to buy him little ones. You know that you could, you know, assemble them fast. But then I bought him an expensive big one. And you know what? He opened it up. He looked at it, closed it, and said, Daddy, he said, it's too complicated for me. I can't do it. Because, of course, yeah, there was masses of instructions. And he looked at it, and you know what? Until this day, this box, for about a year and a half or 2 years, it is laying in his closet, not open. Can you just imagine? For me, as a father, I really don't care about Lego, but I'm talking about, imagine this, Daddy gave you your life. He gave you this box with this life, and you're opening up and you're saying, oh, God Almighty. Does anybody understand me? And you close it back and say, ha-ha. Oh, boy. Daddy tells you, son, Open it. Daughter, come on. Let's start playing. You know what? I'll help you. I came and told my son, listen, I will help you. And he says, Daddy, I don't want to. You know what? He didn't even try. You know? For me, as a father, I kind of saddened because they spent all that money because those monies, they were just thrown out, you know. You know, God gave you life, new life in the box. And I ask you, did you open it up? Did you open it up? Or you just look inside and said, oh, wow, can you just imagine how much I have to work on this? So many investments, prayers, and fasting. Look at the instructions, which is the Bible. You know, it's written how to, you know, put the Lego together. You know, it's called Bible. You know? It's this small manual that, you know, your life is being put together with. And you look and you say, oh, Lord, I can't even read it. Not just to work with it. I can't even read it. I'd rather just listen to that brother over there, that sister, that's a prophetess, and my intercessors over there. And it's good. But your life is in the box. Listen, what? You know what? Open it. Open it. Okay, make a mistake. Do something with this box. Open it up. Set it up. And I guarantee you, you will put something in the wrong place. I guarantee that. It's not a problem, but at least you're working. Amen? Oh, wow, I made a mistake. Not a problem. Go back into the instructions. Where is it? Oh, this is where it's supposed to go. Oh, devil. You know, when sometimes these life lessons give you more than somebody's sermons or books. It's just a regular box of Legos. And Daddy tells me, son, this is how it is with me. I come in, I open the closet, it's there, this huge, beautiful, you know, box, and it's there. Daddy, I'm afraid to touch it. It's too complicated for me. And Daddy tells me, this is the same thing with my children. Every time they come to the conference, he looked inside his box. Wow, awesome. Look how nice it looks on the picture once it's assembled and put together. Look how nice it looks. It's so awesome. It's all put together. You could see what it is, and you start to fall asleep, and Daddy starts showing you pictures, not my life, your life. He starts to show you pictures, how you are putting together this Lego, and how you're controlling this ship that you're building, and you wake up, and you're like, oh man, it's not reality. And I was thinking, I'm going to wake up, and I'm in my destiny, in my call. Live your life, please. Just live your life. Make a mistake at least once. At least once make a mistake. Oh, no, I'm afraid. What if someone will look at me? Who cares? Who cares? This is my God. This is my instruction. And this is my Lego. Well, yeah, I'll make a mistake. Get out of here. You don't need to tell me where to put this wing. I need to know. I mean, I know where the wing goes. Because it's my ship. Jesus. Thank you for my Lego. You know what? When you look at somebody who's cool, he's not cool, really. He just opened up his box and started to assemble it. Oh, wow, look what I got. Others look. And I tell him, open up your own. Open up your Lego. Yeah, you have it, yes. You know what? I'd rather be in a team of helpers. I'll be helping. Why don't you help yourself at least once? I'd rather be an intercessor of this anointed man. You know, it's the easiest thing to say. How about opening up your own box of Lego? But can you look into your life? Into millions and millions of pieces that you have to put together. Amen? Yeah, I'm hated, believe me. You know, they really, really hate me sometimes. Those people that I've never even seen in my life. Usually you have to do something to a person for them to, you know, for them to hate you, according to the instructions. Yeah, I'll give you, I'll hit you and then you'll hate me. That's how it works. You know, why do you hate me when you never see me? What? You like my Lego, huh? What? You like my Lego, right? You said it's cool. You know, sometimes we're like children. Oh, Daddy, I want the same thing too. Buy it, buy it, buy it. Daddy says, you have it, open it up. It's not like that. And I did not create you like that. I want it to be like this, kind of like this. This is his Lego. You have yours. Why don't you open up your box, and you will be shocked with what you will find on the inside. Your life is in there. Not somebody else's. Not Шаповалов. Nor somebody else. It is your life. Your original. Your ship. Your destiny. Yes. With your own mistakes. Yes. With bright happenings. But you never, I mean, you're not always looking at the instructions. You know, I thought that myself, I'll do myself. Whoever took Lego and said, I'll do myself. Yeah, I don't need these instructions. One, two, three times. What is this? I have a problem. Many parts are left over. Look at all the spare parts. How is that? It looks right. What is this pile of leftovers? Daddy says, you don't make mistakes here. Take it apart and put everything according to the instruction, because once it starts to, you'll take it out into the sea, you'll understand where you've made a mistake. You know what? Take it apart. You know what? I've been building for 5 years. I don't want to take it apart. That's okay. Take it apart. Enjoy it now. Consider it a remodel. Reconstruction. I've been in the church for so many years, and now what? I have to redo everything. Yes, redo everything. You will have to do it, because according to the instruction, you're not supposed to be there. How is that? Daddy will tell you what, where, when. Oh, yes, I'm hated. Believe me. Yeah, there is a lot of things to be hated for. Because I am living my life. Once you start living your life, you will be surrounded by those that will hate you. They'll say, you can't have ships like this here. What is it, sister, you're thinking of yourself? Brother, what is this? What is this in front of everybody you're building? What is this you're building in front of everybody? And you're building what? You know what? Others now want to build it too. That's it. Everybody, take the boxes back. Take the boxes back. I'm not giving it, and give it away. You can't. In our church, we're not building anything. Our church, we're listening and we're singing songs. That's it. You can't build. I want to build. I want to build and make additions and grow and remodel. You know what? And I also like to help others. Come here with your box. I will help you. I will open up the instructions. I will give you a couple of advices. I'll help you. Yes, I'm building mine. Don't worry. But at least my side kind of looks a little bigger than yours. And you're walking around with the sail. Where do I put the sail? Oh, how many revelations upon the box of Lego? Oh, dear God. Daddy is just, he likes to do these jokes. Oh, he's so good. It's all good. Continue, you know what? Continue to look at the box and put it together. Put it together. And you know what, then? Why do I need this ship? People usually say, how about we'll just make a boat? You know, it'll be faster. One, two, and it's all ready. Listen. Upon the picture, that's not what it looks like on the picture. That's not what it is. They don't have rows. There's these big propellers. And they're all prophesying to everybody. There's a lot of horns, and everybody can hear those horns. Okay, this is another joke out of context. But you're rowing You know why people are jealous? Because they're not supposed to have a row boat. You know who's jealous? Usually those that have not accomplished what they're supposed to do, they're jealous. But those that have achieved something, they are blessing and they are happy. They are not jealous of anyone. They have his own destiny. He has his own box. Yes, I've had things that were placed in the wrong place. Yes. You know, I've had mistakes. Thank you, Daddy, that you, you know, took me out into the sea and dropped the lifeline in. You know what? And he, Daddy says, you know what? I told you to build a bigger ship, not this little mattress that you were floating on. You know what? For this raft, I needed a day. But for this whole ship, I need a whole year. You know what? And Daddy says, you know what? If you are upon this float, you're not going to go far. But upon this ship, there's this huge engine and rotors and whatnot. There's, you know, diesel engines. You know, you will go far. Why, Daddy? Because you have to go through oceans, through deep waters. And that you're not going to go there by rowing a little boat. You hear me? You are looking at your picture and you're saying, wow, this is not it. And everybody else tells you, it's all good, we're all the same. You, with your horns, with your engines, you are preventing us from, you know, from moving. And then upon this ship, we kind of look strange. You know what we'll let you do? Upon this float that you have, we'll let you number it, you know? No motors allowed. You can number it. Pastor has no motor. What are you doing? I told you it would be interesting today. And then somebody who says he's preaching against me. Of course, if you are upon this float, I'm telling you that you have a big ship waiting for you, something grand. You yourself, you stopped yourself. You know what? You've put it together, but you have two buckets of spare parts. Where would you place that? Oh, I'll hide them so they will not remind me. They irritate me, these spare parts. Somebody comes up and says, are you happy? No, yeah, I'm happy. Don't ask me. I'm very happy. Oh, yeah, my beloved. Yes, I tell you the truth. I was hated. There's a lot to be hated for. I'm living my life. I live the way I want it, dreaming about what I want, and I'm achieving what I want. You hear me? How can you do it like this? Like this. This is my box and my life. You hear me? And I'm putting it together exactly what Daddy painted upon that box. And for me, it will be horrible and bad when I will be building from my box what Daddy drew upon your box. Because we're not going to have the same parts. It's not going to match. Yes, it is, you know, moving with him for you. And you are sinking because it's wrong. It's not the same thing. Remember, hatred can, you know, only an individual can be hated. You know, if you're not hated, then you're not an individual. A slave will never be hated, or, you know, someone will get jealous because of slave. No. No one gets jealous or hated because of they see a slave. You know what? Individuals are hated and they're jealous of. You know what? Don't tell me what to do. Let's just discuss this. Who is the ruler in the house? I thought it was Daddy, isn't it so? And not you. You who don't even have an engine. Yeah, you've been rowing to tell you a word. You know what? I tell you all, but I can't, you know. There's going to be another remix.
Oh,
It's very sad. Only, you know, you could count upon, you know, just maybe a small amount of Christians become who they have to be. Their lives. They gather their own things. They paint it how they want to paint. They place in there what Daddy painted on the picture, what he revealed to them in the spirit or showed them in a vision. Oh, if you could just imagine how all of this comes together with everyday life. You will be happy with what Father has placed on the inside of you. You will not be happy. Remember that. You will never be happy and content on the inside if it's not yours. You know? Yeah, you're upon your rowboat. And you say, you know what? I've got extra rows. What if these will break? And when something big goes by, you get jealous, right? Jealous. You know why you're jealous? Because this is kind of what you have to have, maybe even bigger. But you, oh, look what he thought, what he's thinking about himself. Oh, yeah, I'll move away. Waves, what is this? Look at you. You got here one, two times. We've been here for 15 years, rowing and rowing. In our land, we will not have, you know, we will not have revival. But God, according to the box, said, you will have revival in your and in your land and in my country too. It will be. Look, you went by now. All these waves are here. Brothers, let's gather together. Why are we just hitting our boats against each other? You know what? And even the marina is shaking. Look, they came. Look at this big ship. Why are you going there? Why is I said to stay still? We'll give you these little, you know, mattresses to float upon. We'll even give them to you for free. This is powerful. You don't need to pay a price. Brothers, we have made it up. You know what? One, two, three times, and you all have these mattresses floating. You know what? You have a box. Why don't you open it? You know why Saul, even close, could not even stand close next to David, because David lived his life, but Saul was living somebody else's. All of his life. And we read two things from the scripture. All of his life he was doing what people told him. People told him. God will tell him, do this. And he's saying, I can't. And God says, according to the box, you have to do it this way. And he says, no. Why? Because he was fearful of people. People? And God was sorry that he put Saul as a king. Let's read this. 1 Samuel
13:8. Saul,
we'll read somewhat of this story. So the king goes into war, and he had to wait for Samuel, remember? And Samuel would not come. And Saul tried to make his own ministry here. You know what? Maybe I will pray for instead of Samuel because he's not coming. He's stuck somewhere, fell asleep, maybe forgot. And Saul waited 7 days. According to the set time, Saul had appointed, but Samuel had not come to Gilgal. And the people were scattering from Saul. And Saul said, maybe I'm going to do encounters now. Oh, this is deep. Someone laughs. Maybe I will do encounters now too. Because the people are scattering. Hallelujah. One, two time. But Samuel had not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering from Saul. This is the reason why we have all these problems. People are scattering. What should I do? I'm going to build my boat here. I will build this one, two times, three times. I'll help God so they don't run away. Oh, should I turn down the music? Okay, you don't like flags? Break the flags. Oh, you don't like gold teeth? That's it. We're not going to have gold teeth. And if we will have them, shut your mouth so it doesn't shine. We don't talk about this. Don't say this. Say this and that only. What? What if, I mean, maybe that is why people are scattering from your church. Look. And people were scattering from Saul. So Saul said, bring me the burnt offering and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offerings, which he was forbidden to do. This is not his instructions. He's not supposed to touch that. He was supposed to stand there and wait. No. His, you know, sorry, Saul was fearful. Oh, they're running away, running away. What should I do? What should I do? Hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Bring in the offering. He didn't need God. He needed to, you know, get the approval of those scattering people. Look around. Look around what happens. Let them scatter. Let them run all over the place. I don't know. You know, it's childhood songs. There's always some sort of song that comes out. And he offered burnt offering, which he was forbidden to do. And just as he finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel come. And Saul went out to meet and greet him. It's all good. We've accomplished it all. Samuel said, what have you done? Saul said, because I saw that the people were scattering. You see the root of the problem? The people were scattering. You don't need people. You need obedience to the word of God. Let them run. Let them scatter. What's the big deal? God said, wait. I'll stay by myself, but I'll wait because God said to wait. I am not compromising. Oh, don't worry. You'll come back. Because God is building what he wants to build. Start to do what God tells you to do. Don't look around. You know what? He wasn't living his own life. Tell me, this person, did he live his life? No. He was always ordered by the people. You know what? Now he's even in a worse problem. Now he has to deal not only with the people, now he has to deal with Samuel here. You know what? He could care less about God. But once people get in these situations, people that are building their ships, the way they want their understanding, they have to compromise with everybody, get everybody else's approval, go to everybody's gatherings. Did you ask God? Maybe you don't need to. Let them run, let them scatter, let them hate, let them leave. You know why? Because God has prepared something big. It is written here this way. This is how I do it. I have to remain standing and wait. What now? What have you done, Saul said, because I saw that people were scattering from me and that you did not come within days appointed. Oh, he felt sorry for himself. And then the Philistines were assembled at Michmash. I thought the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal. Can you imagine that? He started writing his own play in his head. They're going to come. And I didn't even make friends with God yet. Can you just imagine how far away this person was away from God? Totally does not understand the whole situation of obedience. Obedience is better than offerings. It's better than offerings. And look, and he thought, there was nothing there, but he thought, I thought, the Philistines will come down upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplications to the Lord. So I forced myself to offer a burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now the kingdom shall not continue. Can you imagine upon this cheap, simple moment to bring an offering or not to bring offering within time, appointed time? Your whole destiny was hanging in that one incident. Your whole destiny was in that, Saul. Don't touch it. God said, don't you dare, don't move. Everyone will leave, let him leave. Let him renounce you. That's okay, not a problem. I will wait. Instructions say, sit and wait. Don't worry. You know, just like they left, they will come back. That's people. And look. And I have decided, made supplications to the Lord, so I forced myself to offer a burnt offering. Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolish, you have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, for the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. What? I've brought lambs. It's not in the lamb. God gave him a test. You know why God let Samuel to be late? He was testing him. Whose life are you living? Yours? Or people that are around you? And he did not pass the test. And when we see him, he continued to flunk this test. He continued to listen to the people until God forcefully took him away from this land. But David, oh yeah, this is a different person. He's a different individual. Him by himself, them by myself. Thank you, Daddy. God is raising up David's, amen. Right now, I'm telling you truthfully, God is raising up these people, a whole generation of these people, not one or two, masses of these people, totally sold out to God. Because now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has set out a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be prince and ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you in the instructions. Instructions. You did not accomplish what God told you. You started doing what people were telling you. Listen here. It would have been better for Saul to have his loss than this sort of victory. You hear me? For that moment, it looked like, and for a lot of us, it looks like that right now this is a victory. But it's a loss of your whole kingdom. It's better for them to come. Everybody would run away. They would attack you. And maybe you would have losses. But God did not say that that will happen. You know, it's even better to take a loss in obedience than victory without the obedience. And listen to people, beloved, it is better to be in obedience with God and have a mistake somewhere along the way than to be in obedience with people and have this victory. Well, people did not scatter from me. You think that's victory? That's sad, because that is your total loss right there. Just think about this very carefully. And because of this victory, quote-unquote, he lost his kingdom. He lost it all. Saul, was he trying to, make happy God or people? You know, it's one thing to read the Bible. Whose life are you living? Whose life are you living? Do you have it? Who speaks into your life? God? People? Who stops you? Who stops your life? Who prevents you from becoming someone that's around you, or you yourself? Think about it very carefully. Let's read another scripture. I have some time. Another victory, quote-unquote, Saul's victory. 1 Samuel chapter 15, we're... Same thing. This person, you know, every single time he'd go out somewhere, he'd do some sort of mistake. Are you receiving something for yourself today? Oh, beloved, I want you today to leave and totally have this spirit of a conqueror on the inside, a person that, people that want to live your own life. Yes, you will have your mistakes. I guarantee that, but it will be your mistakes. It's your life. Enjoy it. I fix the mistakes. If I've placed it in the wrong place, I take it out and, you know, place it where the instructions say, it's all good, not a problem. We got the instructions. This is my life. I'm building it. You build yours. God gave it to you. 1 Samuel 15, chapter 15, verse 1. Look, very unique thing. Today we'll read a little bit. Some say, oh, he doesn't read enough out of the scripture. It's okay. Today we'll read. What? Yeah, it's all good? Let's read. Samuel told Saul, the Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people Israel. Now listen, and heed the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, I've considered and will punish what Amalek did to Israel. Look what God is saying. How he has set himself against him in the way when Israel came out of Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all they have. Again, you are getting an instruction here. This is what you do. This is how you build. This is where and how. Look, destroy all they have. Do not spare them, but kill both men and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. So Saul assembled the men and numbered them at Telaim, 200,000 men on foot. It's a big army, and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay wait in the valley. Saul warned the Canaanites, "Go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the Israelites when they came up from the Egypt." So the Canaanites departed from among the Amalekites. Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah as far as Shur, which is the east of Egypt. And he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, though he utterly destroyed all the rest of the people with a sword. Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, oxen, fatlings, lambs, and all the other good, and would not utterly destroy them. But all that was undesirable or worthless, they were destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, "Look, this is the word. I regret making Saul king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commands." And Saul was grieved and angry with Saul, and Samuel was grieved and angry with Saul, and he cried to the Lord all night. When Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, he was told Saul came to Carmel. And behold, he set up for himself a monument or a trophy of his victory. A monument? You're an idiot. What monument right now? You lost everything. You lost it all. You're putting a monument of victory for yourself? Did David place any sort of monument for himself? No. You know what? You know, his son Abisalom did it. You know, have you seen many different trophies that all these idiots have placed for themselves? The interesting thing is they build a for themselves. They build themselves for themselves. And look. That's a whole message, extra message in here about building monuments. Monument or trophy of his victory passed and on and went down to Gilgal. He thought it was all cool. You know, everything looks good. We gotta make it bronze so it'll remain forever. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said to him, "Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed what the Lord ordered." No. You've made mistakes. You screwed up. And Samuel said, "What then means this bleeding of sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear?" Saul said, "They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God." Your God. Can you imagine he didn't have God? It's for your God. Because I don't have one. For to the Lord, your God. But the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Stop. I will tell you what the Lord said to me tonight. I love these people did not fear, even speak the truth to the king." Saul said to him, "Say on." Samuel said, "When you were small in your own sight, were you not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed you to king over Israel, and the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed'? Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord, but swoop down upon the plunder and did evil in the Lord's sight?" Saul said to Samuel, "Yes, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the way." He still is. He did not understand. He's trying to make up excuses. "I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and have gone the which way the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took from the spoil sheep and ox and the chief of the things to be utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal." He wasn't born from above. Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great a delight in burnt offering and sacrifices in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as idolatry, and teraphim, household, good luck image." You are not building according to the plan of God. Right now, you are a sorcerer. You do witchcraft. When you're doing what people tell you to do. Yes, let no one around you stay, but I am building according to the plan of God. You hear me? By the plan of God. What now? You need to know who to listen to, when to listen. I'm not saying when somebody comes to you and somebody gives you a good word, but when someone is ordering your destiny around, tells you who you are, what you can do, what you cannot do. Be careful of those. Listen. Not me, and nobody else besides God can tell you what to do with your destiny. You hear me? The Holy Spirit will tell you. This will take this phrase, out of this whole big message, and for you, you will have your message because the Holy Spirit will tell you something different. You hear me? He gives order to your life. Oh, pray for me, Pastor. You know what? Pray for yourself. Pastor, I need help here. Help yourself. What? You don't want to help? No, because I am training champions here and not somebody who's a weakling. I was thinking a lot. What should I do? You know, should I raise these sissies or raise up champions? To raise up champions, often, not only you have to speak to them, you have to give them a heavy load. That's it. Look at this.
Как послушание, послушание лучше жертвы, повиновение лучше только одно. Ибо непокорность такой же грех, что волшебство, и противление тоже, что идолопоклонство. За то, что ты отверг слово Господа, я отверг тебя. Ничего себе. Если ты отверг план Бога и судьбу Его, Бога отвергнет тебя.
God will reject you.
Don't
build your own way. Don't build the way you like. Look at the instructions. Look at the box. Look at the picture. And build the way that is instructed to you. He will tell you who to fellowship with and who not to fellowship with.
Слово Господа, Господь отверг тебя, чтобы ты не был царем Израилем, и обратился Самуил, чтобы уйти. Но Саул, смотрите,
and because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has also rejected you from being the king.
Тогда сказал Саул, ныне отторг Господь царство Израиля.
And Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words, because I fear the people and obey their voice. Now I pray you pardon my sin and go back with me, that I may worship the Lord. And Samuel said to Saul,
но почти меня перед старейшинами народа моего. Что? Ты, тварь, построил себе памятник?
You have built a monument to yourself.
You have totally made a fool out of yourself.
And now I have to go and make you look good in front of people. Is there something wrong with your head? Why is it so quiet in here? It's all good. I'm just expressing myself.
Смотри дальше.
Aggressively.
Ну зато когда я скажу, у тебя не будет недопонимания.
But at least the way I say it, you will understand.
Вот это оно. Смотри. Согрешил я. Почти меня перед народом
и старейшинами
народа моего.
I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words, because I fear the people and obey their voice. Now I pray you pardon my sin and go back with me, that I may worship the Lord.
Это абсолютно личность, ничего общего с Богом не имеющая.
Saul
и возвратился Самуил за Саулом, и поклонился Саул Господу, потому что сказал
ему,
приведите ко мне Агага, царя Амаликитского. Ну зачем такие названия? Правильно, чтобы поубивали.
Смотри,
это не в программе, сори. И подошел к нему Агаг, дрожащий. Смотри, и сказал Агаг, конечно, горечь смерти миновала. Ты не к тому подошел. Ты подошел не к Саулу сыкливому. Ты подошел к Самуилу. И он тебя зарежет сейчас. Знаешь почему? Потому что в инструкции тебя надо убить. Нет! Бог сказал! Против. Бог сказал, а что мне делать? Не думать. Слушать. Строить по картинке. Строить по
плану. The king, build by instruction. What do I do? Do what the instruction says to do. First, you must read the instruction. I like when people live their own life. Yeah, they might make mistakes, they might stumble, they might hit their face against the ground, but you know what, when they stand up, they will not make those same mistakes. They become smarter and wiser.
He подошел к нему, как дрожащий, и сказал, как, конечно, горе смерти миновалось. Но Самуил сказал, как меч твой
Verse 33, Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Samuel went to Ramah, but Saul went up to his house in Gibeah of Saul, and Samuel came no more to see Saul until the day of his death.
Понимающий всю серьезность этой ситуации, выбрал бы падение Давида больше.
I know that, understanding this concept here, you the mistakes of David made over the victory here that Saul had specially had. I want you to clearly see what happened in, this, in the life of Saul. And who is David? People say David was a better king, but the fact is they were completely different kings.
Дорогие, знаете, просто сейчас скажу некоторые вещи.
I'm gonna share some things with you.
Знаете, вокруг меня
done.
Было масса советников. Поверьте мне, я знаю.
I had so many advisors next to me, the ones that told me, you don't need to do this. You're acting like a foolish man. Everyone will turn their face away from you if you keep doing this and other things.
Я не слушал никого.
I didn't listen to any of them.
Характер, он настырный.
Because my character is very stubborn.
Мне казалось, что действительно я сделал что-то не то.
But at that moment, I sat there and I thought that, you know what, I did make a mistake, and I sat there in tears and thought, man, they must have been right. But walking my way, I realized that I picked my own life. Yeah, it was difficult, full of mistakes and full of making mistakes and stumbling, but I know one thing is that if I listened to all those advisors, then I'd know that now nobody would know me, I would not be needed, and I would have sat somewhere in the back, just sitting, and no one would need me, and I would not be satisfied. So yes, I picked my own defeat and my own mistakes over the things that they told me to do. But in the end, their victories have led them to their defeat, but my mistakes have led me to victories. And all these advisors, they all, they're still there where they've been before. They're still nowhere. They're no one, they have no name, and to this day, no one needs them. If you want to be like them, listen to them. Because they decided to live someone else's life. Give God glory. Thank you. Let us arise. I believe that I've given you enough food for your spirit today and for your mind. Daddy just told me to go into this type of preaching, and I am satisfied when I tear this demon apart, that same demon that afflicts people and destroys their life. And I know that by the end of my life, many champions will arise, champions that will think for themselves. People that go where God tells them to go and do things the way God tells them to do. Look at your box. Keep opening it. Begin to open pieces. Begin to glue pieces together. Start fasting. Go into that fast that God told you a year ago. Start reading that book, the one that has a bookmark on the page 30. Start reading it. God says it's yours. Start building. Start building. God said, start building. Father, I thank you. I praise you. I thank you for my family, for my local family, for my global family. I thank you for giving me an opportunity to speak into the lives of many thousands of people. I never thought I would be privileged to have that. I was just building by instruction, and I can continue doing that. And I thank you that you never have forsaken me. Yeah, there have been moments when I was all alone. And there were moments in my life that I regretted for certain things.
Он почему-то утром и вечером говорил: сынок,
but your voice kept telling me morning and evening, keep going. I'm with you. Get up. I'm covering you. Don't listen to these people. Don't listen. I have a destiny for you. I have an instruction for you. I thank you, dear Jesus. So many years have passed. All those people that advised me, they're nowhere now. But I thank you for giving me a destiny. And I don't regret a single day or night or a minute of my life. I thank you for every mistake, for every lesson that I've learned. I thank you for that. I thank you for that, Father. You're raising up a generation of overcomers. Those that will not be afraid to make a mistake, a generation that will not be afraid, those that will look in and into their own life and begin to build their life. Make us strong, make our family strong. Raise up champions, raise up champions. I thank you. I thank you.
Amen.
Give God glory.
Папочка, спасибо тебе. Спасибо тебе. Присядьте, дорогие.
Have a seat.
Присядьте, дорогие. Знаете, мне нравится.